Hey, this is Daniel, and you're listening to Rushing Forward. You're listening to Rushing Forward, and episode 4, if I'm not mistaken, we're graced with the presence of a certain Lydia. She's got quite the bio, which I'm really scared I'll butcher. So,
Please don't read it.
Yeah, okay, no, I won't read it. So I'll say what I know by heart. She's a writer and an activist and a community manager at one of my favorite startups, Zazu Africa. And she tells us she has no TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's that about, Lydia? Hi, Lydia.
Hi. Oh my gosh, it's real now. Okay, so I have no TV. It wasn't even a thing. I guess I watch TV on my phone and my computer, so I've never felt the need to get like a proper TV. I've always wanted a record player, though. I think those would be like,
oh my gosh,
really
same.
Cool. Yes.
The Crossleys and the...
I want a record player and then like buy vinyl and just...
What would be your first vinyl purchase?
I would probably get the Ronettes. Okay. So they were a girl group from the 60s and like,
ooh,
it's one of, like, they did this song called Be My Baby.
Okay.
And it's like one of my favorite songs
of all
time.
Do you want to hum it for us?
No.
Okay.
So if anybody's interested in that, just Google it. Like, it's a really catchy song and yeah, it's very 60s pop.
Yeah, I'm going to listen to them. Uh-huh. I've been doing quite a bit of, I don't know if it's 60s, I think it's more 80s and 90s,
mm-hmm,
like retro music.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, my first vinyl would... I mean, like, anyone who knows me knows my first vinyl is probably Lord.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm Lord, if you're listening.
Yes, if you're listening.
I'm a huge fan. Anyway, my first, it would be, I think, Pure Heroin by Lord. That
okay.
was such, it was, it. It's an album that I listen to. It's I think it's like 6-8 years old,
mm-hmm,
and I listen to it every day and it changes my life and it's still as fresh and like... Music rarely transcends time,
mm-hmm,
but like, yo, that's done it for me.
Yeah, you know, Pure Heroin is still relevant today. I still listen to some of the songs. Weirdly enough, Royals is not my favorite, one of my favorite songs on
Thank
the album.
You.
I really enjoy YT Teens.
Oh, I love that song.
Yeah, and Bravado should be my favorite song on the album.
Bravado is when I'm feeling low and I feel like... I can't achieve anything.
Boost.
Exactly. And then
yes.
And it's like, I'll find my own bravado.
Yeah.
I love that song.
Yeah. Which other one? There's the...
404 Lux. It starts with that humming
mm-hmm
sound. And
mm-hmm,
yes. Yeah.
Is it the one?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the bridge, I think.
Yeah.
That's the melody in the bridge.
Uh-huh.
Like now that I'm on the spot, I can't sing it. It's funny because like someone tweeted... Someone tweeted, if someone had a gun to your head,
uh-huh,
what song would you sing?
The alphabet song.
I said the same song I just felt. So I'd be dead. But, content warning. Yeah. Hi, Lydia. What? Tell us about yourself.
Oof, okay.
She's a very interesting person,
I?
By
oh,
the way.
Wow, pressure. Look at this. Let's see. Who am I?
Or you can start with what you do.
But, okay,
what you're
I think
passionate
that's
about.
Easy.
I think what
I
you're
think
passionate
that's
about
easier,
is
right?
Better.
So I am a writer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what, like, I'm a writer first before anything else.
Yeah.
I really like telling stories. I am interested in people things.
Same.
Yeah. So anything that has to do with like people and their relationships, either with themselves or with other people,
yeah,
or with their environment, I really love that. I always wanted to be a children's writer when I was young.
What happened?
I went to university and then I had to get a degree that required, like, that would surely get me employed.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah, but you can still write. But the thing is, I appreciate that now because I can still write,
mm-hmm,
and still have, like, a regular old 9-to-5.
Yeah.
And full disclosure, I haven't written anything creative since, like, September. I've
but
been
define
in a...
creative. I know being a community manager,
mm-hmm,
there's a good amount of writing.
Yes.
And
yes.
I think creativity is anything that brings out a different twist to what's standard.
Yeah, that is a valid point. But then, by creative, I mean I haven't put out any poetry or fiction.
Okay.
So what I write these days is, anything that's related to tech or finance or where the market is headed. So that's what I'm in. Like, I do try and put a creative spin on it because everybody sort of has their own voice when they write. But I haven't written anything. I haven't written any, you know, like fictional stories since September. And I'm not scared. I thought I'd be scared.
Why?
I always thought maybe one day I'll wake up and I'll never be able to write again. Like,
well, I've definitely had that fear before.
Because, you know, you're told, oh, it's a talent. If you don't use it, you know, it will be taken away by whatever higher power. And that was always my fear.
Yeah.
Like, okay, one day I will wake up and I would, like, I will not even be able to write past the.
But, writer's block is real.
Yeah. But I don't know if it's writer's block. It's just, I just feel like whatever it is I'm going to write is not ready yet.
Yeah?
Yeah. So I'm waiting for it.
What's your form? I know there's times I want to write old school pen notebook. Then there's times that, you know, I just need to type it out. What do you do?
I have like thousand, okay, thousand is like an exaggeration, but like I have so many journals because I always want to like write out in pencil.
Okay.
I enjoy using pencils. There's just something about the way it glides across the paper. So I like to write in pencil on paper before I can take it to like
digital
a computer
form
and type it out. I would like a typewriter one day. I know it sounds very hipster, but
it
I would
is
like
very
a
hipster. I mean, it's very millennial of you.
I would like a typewriter one day and just be like, oh, I'm so pretentious. I'm a real writer. Look at me.
To be honest, same. I feel like I aspire to that sort of aesthetic. Like, I don't know if it's aspire or I'm just, you know, like, what's the word? Like, I'm just pulled towards it.
Yeah.
Or
do you think
know.
Tumblr just brainwashed us into thinking it's cool?
To be honest, I wasn't really big. I wasn't a big Tumblr user, but I'm for the Tumblr aesthetic. You know, the whole visco people and visco girl, visco boy,
and
e people. And I think it's an interesting thing. Funny because I feel like those subcultures, can I call them subcultures, are really aligned to Gen Z's, and I feel like I'm a millennial, but life is telling me I'm not.
You can be whoever you want to be. I'm a millennial, but like a part of me could be a boomer. Like there's times I'm just like, ooh, the boomer in me jumped out. So
what's that about?
So there is this. So our parents, most of our parents. Most millennials' parents' generation is boomer. There is a few who maybe have like Gen X parents, but most are boomers. And our parents, if I'm speaking in the local Zambian context, you know, our parents were very, okay, this is your life. This is the timeline of your life. You are going to school.
Yeah.
You are going to get an education. You're going to pick from this list of 10 respectable careers. You're going to get a good job.
I feel like it's just what doctor, engineer, banker. like it's
yeah.
Just
like, you know, you can be these. You can be you can be any of this, please. Just select these. From here, you're going to like get a good job. You're going to first of all, you're going to graduate.
Oh yeah.
You're going to get a good job, and then after that, you're going to find somebody, and you're going to have to put up with them for the rest of your life, and maybe have a few kids. So. Whilst I don't, I'm naturally not inclined to agree 100% with that school of thought, there are times when I'm like, okay.
It makes sense.
It makes sense to a degree, because if you look at where they came from and what they went through and what they had to do to, I don't want to use the word survive because it's so dramatic, but yeah, what they had to do to live.
Yeah.
This is the formula that they followed and it worked for them. So it's safe. It's safer. And sometimes it's better to just, you know, take a safe approach.
Yeah, it comes from a place of love sometimes, you know, when the boomer jumps out. But like, I think it's changing for us because it's very different, I think, in our context, because we live in a world that's very driven by boomers. Yeah. And they're the ones making the decisions. They're the ones with the spending power, the buying mm-hmm. power. Mm-hmm. And I say this because this is a big tangent, but one thing, like a big pet peeve of mine is like the nightlife in Lusaka specifically mm-hmm. is very well tuned for boomers.
Yeah.
And it's annoying.
They have the money.
As a prospective, or not prospective, I shouldn't build it to myself, mm-hmm. as a DJ. Mm-hmm. it's super annoying because whenever you approach people and they'll mm-hmm. be like, yeah, no playing any of that rap, you know, that, mm-hmm. yeah, mm-hmm. rap, and then beep, beep. Yeah, and then I'm like, ah, okay, never mind. And, like, there's no nice places where you can just chill and be yourself and, like, you know, do stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I think expression was something that they couldn't afford.
Yeah.
And I do feel a bit sad about that because I feel we are a generation that actually embraces individuality.
Yeah.
And our culture is one where the collective trumps the individual. So you That's must true. Behave in a way that benefits the community, because at the end of the day, it's the community that grows and not the individual. That was the school of thought then. So I think even when they were coming up, even in the content that we are privy to from that era,
yeah.
you can see that there was, you know, everybody sort of followed a certain pattern. There was sort of, I don't want to call it hive mind, but it's kind of what it was.
Exactly.
You know?
It's for the good of the community.
Mm-hmm. So now, this is when, like, we can express ourselves, yeah. like, I can listen to whatever kind of music I want to, but I don't think they understand that.
No, they don't.
And I don't think we should expend our energy trying to convince them to understand that. I feel like we should expend our energy towards the generation that's coming
yeah.
and tell them it's okay to be yourself. Like, yes, guys, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this on this podcast, but they're going to die soon.
Why do you say that?
No, but it's true. They're older.
Yeah.
So, and it's mean, and I'm sorry, but it's the truth.
But it's life, yeah.
Yeah, it's life. It's just the fact. So instead, like, invest your energy towards molding the young minds.
Yeah, molding us,
yeah.
true.
Yeah.
I feel like not many people are doing that mm-hmm. here. Like, and I think I speak for the continent as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about other continents, but it's, you're a child,
mm-hmm.
even though we're... Am I an adult? I feel like I'm almost there.
Yeah.
No one's really an adult, to be honest.
We're part-time adults.
Yeah, exactly. We're faking it.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like they still look at us as children just because yeah. of the... Yeah, and like they don't want to pass that on. And I feel like mm-hmm. we need that because we need to start building a society tailored for who we are and the background we're from.
Yeah, you do have a valid point. And the boomer in me is, like, kind of pokey.
Let it out.
But I was thinking about this last night. I'd just gotten home from work, and I was thinking about the whole conversation of, like, generational differences.
BTW, I envy you. I need to move out of my parents' house.
Yeah, you will, soon enough. And then, like, every time you have to pay rent, your heart will physically burn. Like,
yeah. I'm looking forward to that burning sensation.
Like, I'm giving, no. Anyway, I like my place. I like my landlord.
Lucky, to tell myself. Not many can.
Yeah. So, like you said, it came from a place of love. And this was, I feel like, the first generation of helicopter parenting.
True.
And
can you just define helicopter parenting for those who aren't privy?
In, like, the most layman terms I can manage, because I sometimes I don't know how to express myself like verbally very well. Helicopter parenting
you
is
can tap the mic.
Yeah, Morse code.
Yeah.
Helicopter parenting is a style of parenting where the parents are extremely involved in the children's lives. So they want to know what you're doing. They want to know where you're going. They want to know if you're okay. It comes from a place of love, but then it can be really intrusive, because these are the sort of parents, maybe you have a bully at school, and say no to bullying, please stand up to bullying, yeah.
Yep.
But you have a bully at school, the older generation would be like, oh, deal with it. But then...
Toughen up.
Yeah, toughen up.
Everyone
you know?
Goes
yeah,
through
go through it. Build character. But then, like, these are parents who will be like, oh, do you need me to speak to your school? Do you need me to speak to your bully? Because
I don't think I'll ask. Uh-huh. I'll be at that school.
Because I have, I know somebody who, at the previous job I had, okay, so the work environment was, could be a bit stressful. Finance, it's very dynamic. Things change. And so she was having a little bit of a difficult time. And her father asked her, do you want me to speak to your boss?
Okay.
So that's like what helicopter parenting is. Like, they want to still hold your hand even through adulthood, which it comes from a place of love, but then it doesn't allow people to grow, you know? So, yeah. What was I saying? So they treat us like children because of that.
Yeah.
And because they feel, maybe, I don't know, I'm not a boomer, but I think they feel that we are not as mature as they were at the at that age because we haven't gone through certain life experiences that they had that they think
made them be in that position
of maturity.
Yeah. Oh, that's heavy. It's a lot to think about, but I do agree.
I don't know if it made sense because we've like segued like 5 times. So I'm so sorry to the listeners.
No, our listeners are smart.
That's good. That's a good thing.
I mean, but then that's the thing, you know? I don't think people have to go through things. But experience does give you a certain level of insight or perspective. Mm-hmm. And I feel like in the world we live in, we have gone through experiences that prepare us for that.
Mm-hmm.
Or the world we want to live in, rather. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like when we eventually take over,
climate change.
Like you, yes, but I feel like that won't be too bad for the next 50 years, and I think they might just all be gone. I mean, they should start passing the mantle on now.
And it's so important. It's so important. Mentorship is so important because people need to pass on the mantle. People in positions of power and privilege need to identify people that are young or do not have the resources that they have and give them a platform to, you know, express themselves, to be leaders. I know it sounds very cliche, but it's very, I feel like it's very valid. A lot of the time, even within our generation, because, you know, it's very easy to point at the older generation and be like, oh, you people are not giving us the platform, la 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 la. But then there are spaces that we belong in where other less privileged individuals might not have access to.
Yeah.
You know? And so it transcends, I feel like it transcends age or generation, but it's more a thing of resources. And I guess it plays into age because the older these people are, the more resources and the more money and the more power they have.
Exactly.
But then even we ourselves, I feel like the onus is on us to also say, hey, I am in a place of privilege. I have this platform. I have this, these resources. I have these opportunities, which, fine, I can use to advance myself. But then what if I gave this other community that is less listened to this platform to use, because there's people who then they can reach whoever it is they want to reach, or they can, you know, achieve their goals.
I agree. And I feel like in this world we live in, it's, I don't say ruled or governed, but it's, we're very connected and technology enables all that. And I think there's no excuse, because, I mean, resources here aren't just financial. Could be a lot of factors. And I think technology enables us in more ways than we can imagine, and will enable us in more ways. And it's clearly the future of the world, as automation and industrialization was when boomers were doing their thing. And, like, we need to leverage that enough and I think we need to do more to embrace it.
Yeah.
And move forward as a generation or as a...
That's actually very true. And we're living in a very interesting time because if we look back in history, if we look at like the industrial revolutions that occurred, the first three were very... can I say they were very... The disciplines, there were very straight lines between the disciplines.
Yeah.
So, you know, we see, okay, the first industrial revolution, people are no longer depending on animal labor. And then now we have, you know, there's the whole, what did they call them? What did they call that thing in English?
The cart.
No.
The lorry. The road. Gosh.
No, it's not a road.
No, your hand just...
I know, my hand is moving. I think the thing they're called service lines.
Oh, the telephone lines.
No, not telephone lines. Like when you go to a factory, those factory lines.
Oh, like the conveyor belts.
Yeah. Yes, that's the word.
Yeah.
Yes. So, we have all this technology that was happening that was making people's lives easier, but it was all very... It all had like a specific purpose to serve. But then now, we see that the technology that is being developed is very interdisciplinary.
Mm.
So, for instance... Who would have thought maybe 20 years ago of a fintech, right? Like technology that will enable somebody with only a mobile phone to have access to banking services or to money or like mobile money agent. So it's become very connected. So you can use tech and mix it with health. You can use agriculture and mix it with something else. And we need to use that, like you said, like to further ourselves. Like we need to use this new industrial revolution that is happening to achieve whatever it is, the crazy dreams that we have.
I like that because I think it mirrors who we are as a generation.
Yeah.
You know, you talked about, you know, us being individuals and being in our own pockets. And I think tech being the way it is now, imparting so many different sectors, which is one way I really like to see it, because being a developer by profession, sometimes you can get this one dimensional view of what you're doing and you feel like, yo, it's just the code. It's actually about the people.
Yeah.
And the people are in health, the people are in finance, the people are in what are the other fields? Yeah, agriculture. The people are in renewable energy, the people are in governance, the people are in, you know, so many other things like that. And yeah, I mean, I'm guilty sometimes. I've been very streamlined in what I think is possible, but it's very good to expand and leverage technology in so many places. Media, entertainment, gaming, so many other sectors. It's cool, I think. I'm banking on technology, and I'm someone who, I don't want to say advocates, but I really want people to use it right. And being someone who makes it and seeing a lot of the bad stuff, that's present, like you don't want that. And like, with what's the quote from Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility.
Yeah,
that's literally the only line I remember.
Yeah. I think we do need to promote ethical tech, but then again, where do we now begin to, you know, to draw the lines? Because something is efficient, it will cost you less money and make you more money, but at the same time, this thing might make human labor or human capital redundant. So what are you going to do to address those, you know, those challenges that come as a result?
I mean, you keep moving with the times, to be honest. I mean, if you talk about the time with conveyor belts, before that there was people had to manually be move in stuff. That but I think you notice that you know, you have to level up and skill up and go with the times. So instead of banking on your physical prowess to lift boxes, try and use your mental prowess now to be an engineer who fixes conveyor belts. It's like the scene in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Have you seen that movie?
Which one?
There's a lot.
I think there's two.
I think it's the first one.
The
where the father is at a toothpaste something and he gets fired.
Okay.
But then he learns how to...
The source material is the same. Yeah, exactly. He gets laid off.
And then he learns how to fix the robots that replaced him, and he gets like a higher paying job, and it's like win-win for everyone.
So the or just him, I guess. Improve their skill set.
True. The who?
The boomers.
Oh, no. I feel like they just didn't grow up with technology like that, you know?
Yeah, but they can learn.
True, they can.
They want to.
But I would prefer it if millennials leveraged technology and used it to sort of take the control.
Take over.
No one should arrest me. I keep talking about taking over people.
Have an Orwellian society.
Yeah. No,
I don't think anybody should take
over.
Yeah, I feel like everybody has something to learn from every generation. I believe it's Ruth Bader Ginsburg who said, fight for what you believe in, but do it in such a way that people follow you. So, fine. Boomers and Gen X are the majority in power.
Yeah.
And there is a lot of inequality as a result because of some short-sightedness here and there. But then...
Bad short-sightedness. Yeah,
so, but then, again, if we say, oh, no, this generation should take over, that generation will also have its problems. It will also have its, you know, its shortcomings. So I feel like we need to combine experience with innovation.
And it's I think it's a good, what word is that? It's a good collaboration, I guess, because we've got the innovation part. We're fresh.
Yeah.
We're very open, and no one's arguing the boomers and Gen Xers do have the power. So I mean, going forward, it would be nice if we could build a society that's enabled by those two actions.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. I'm still very salty about everything. It's adulting is hard, and it's even harder when people are always hovering, really. Yeah. I mean, like, you understand that it comes from a place of love, but I'm only human. And I mean, I'm not speaking directly about my specific interaction with my parents, but just like on a societal level, the people who hover over us, really.
Yeah.
And feel like, you know, you don't have the power per se, which I think the thing that what bugs me the most, I think currently, is the lack of the lack of empowerment for the generation, because I think it's a very African or Southern Hemisphere problem where we're just broke, or we don't know how to deal with money. I don't know. What is it?
I think there are psychological scars that were left behind as a result of colonial rule. And I really don't like talking about it because I sound very... What's the word that they use? Is it woke or hotep or whatever?
So woke. Yeah.
Yeah. But I feel like, I always say this, we need to be patient with ourselves as a continent. Because look at the US, right? Slavery happened 300 years ago. That is when slavery was abolished. And 300 years later, they are still dealing with the consequences and the scars of what slavery, it is.
Yeah.
So we can equate the same thing here. Fine, we weren't enslaved, but we were colonized, and that sort of took away our power as people.
Yeah.
And this happened, 50 odd years ago?
It's very
Our
recent.
Parents were alive.
Yep.
During this time. So you find that the majority of the people that are in power in these African countries right now are people that saw what was happening. And so you're looking at psychological trauma. You are looking at somebody who has not experienced fairness.
Yeah.
And so it's a very painful cycle. But then hopefully we will come out of it, like, with time. I feel like we just need time. I'm not justifying what a lot of African leaders do in terms of corruption and all that stuff, but then we also have to understand it comes from a very violent and very painful place.
Worst
of South Africa, apartheid was abolished 25 years ago. So black people who are getting quality education and access to you know, fair, equal standards are people maybe our generation. And those are not the people in power.
True. That's true.
So it's all very, I feel like it's all very connected. And fine, we shouldn't excuse it. Like, we should still provide checks and balances. We should tell them, we understand, like, okay, Brooklyn Nine-Nine quote, cool motive, still murder.
Okay.
Yeah. Did I just say murder? I'm supposed to say murder. Okay. I can't pronounce that word, murder.
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 No, you said it right.
Yeah?
Yeah, murder.
I can never pronounce that word. It's got too many R's.
It's got two?
Yeah, okay. That's too many.
Murder.
That's even worse. I won't even try. Yeah, so, like, the motive might be cool, but that doesn't mean what you are doing or what you did wasn't wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we need to be patient, and we need to understand where all this is coming from and all the and their scars and whatnot.
Yeah.
But then it shouldn't excuse bad behavior.
But that's them, though. What about us? Mm-hmm. What about our upbringing and the period that we grew up in and what we experienced? Should we be aware of as we go ahead making not just financial decisions, but just really trying to grow?
We have no excuse. Other than maybe if you go the Freud way and say, oh, we blame our parents. But I feel like we have little excuse. Fine, we don't have access to the resources that, say, maybe people in more privileged communities might have. But with the internet and the times that we live in, I feel like it's our responsibility at this point. It's our responsibility to make sure that the decisions that we're making are coming from an informed place, and that what we do is sustainable and is conscientious of the generation that is coming. So we have to take responsibility. We have very little excuse compared to the generations that came before us, because I feel like we know better, and when you know better, you do better. We shouldn't repeat the same mistakes that this generation's.
That reminds me of my favorite Maya Angelou quote. Do your best until you know better, and when you know better, do better.
Yeah.
That's it's super interesting. And I think that makes me very excited about where we're going. But then we can't ignore that we live in a society where, just like to put it plainly, shit's hard. Because people are making very bad decisions.
Yes.
Very, very bad decisions.
I was having a conversation with a friend of mine. I think it was a month ago.
Yeah.
So we had gone to his father's house. And his father is a very wealthy man. And so he was just having a chat about how his father really inspires him and he wants to work hard. And he feels like by the time he is 30, he should have, you know, beaten the level of his father. And I was like, fam,
relax.
That's not going to happen.
Mm.
Because 20, 30 years ago, our currency was at a different place than it is at right now.
Definitely.
Our markets were in a different place. Our resources were a bit more plentiful than they are today.
Zambia was lit, like 30 years ago.
Yeah. So it might not have been as technologically advanced as it is now, but in terms of access to certain resources that can be flipped as investments,
yeah,
we were in a really good place.
Yeah.
The price of land has like increased in the hundreds of percentages.
Yeah, 1,000 fold, I think, even.
So even the price, like the price of shares on the stock market, if we decide to be technical, that has also changed. So a lot of things have changed, which has made it a bit difficult for us to sort of amass the wealth that maybe our parents' generation might have. And studies have actually shown that for the first time in a very long time, the wealth line has stagnated. So nobody is climbing.
Is this global?
Up. Yeah. It's global. It's happening everywhere. Because before, studies would show that people would move from a certain economic class and then they would steadily move up the economic scale. But then for the first, like, we haven't moved up in a decade or so.
Like people are settling.
Like everybody is just stagnant. So if you were middle class yesterday, you're going to remain middle class today. If you were rich, you're going to remain rich. If you're poor, unfortunately, you are going to remain poor. It's very difficult for people to move out of their social class because of what's happening in the world right now. Like there is very little access to certain resources that that could change people's fortunes. So unfortunately for us, it would take a miracle for us to amass the amount of wealth that previous generations had in the amount of time that they had.
And to the graduate fresh out of college, how do you pass that news to them and how do you console them for having to live in a world like that?
There's nothing, I don't think there's anything you can say to comfort anyone. I guess it gets better, I don't know. But you learn to live with it. Because right now, do you feel like you're suffering? No.
Ah.
Like, if you look at it like on a fair scale, do you feel like
to be honest, ish, that's a loaded question. I mean, I have food and I have Wi-Fi. I have access to, the internet. But
it could be better. The thing is, you're still comfortable. So to the graduate, what would I say? It's hard. You probably might not get your dream job. Just put it aside. If it happens, great. But if it doesn't, there is nothing wrong with you.
Yeah.
Because first of all, the age of retirement is 65.
It's 60,
65.
It's
60, 65. And
in Zambia.
Mm-hmm. So that means that people are keeping their jobs for much longer, which makes the opportunities for new graduates who are coming out in numbers these days, because it's like universities are turning out more and more graduates
to
less and less jobs.
More bad decisions.
Exactly. So it's a cycle. It's a cycle. So people stay in their jobs longer. There's more people that are graduating because if you think about it, 40 years ago, not everybody had a degree. So if you had a degree, you immediately got a good job. That's not the case anymore.
And I think now you see that wave of entrepreneurs coming on where everyone's like, yo, I need to get this business, or yo, I need to retire at 30.
Business is going to crash and burn. Is more likely to crash and burn in the first year.
Yeah.
That's also another horrible truth that we have to deal with.
Just dropping those truths. Giving people dreams. But no, true. Those are things you need to think about.
Might not succeed. You have to think about that. You will probably be in a loss-making position for a very long time. And if you don't have a safety net, then it gets really hard.
Yeah.
And it's so access to like great jobs off the bat from university are really difficult. There's people who have found them, so it's not impossible, but it's no longer the norm because you are 1 in 1,000.
Looking for that.
Yes, and the more you are, the more your employer will exploit you because we live in a capitalist society. And then there is organizations such as the one I will not name that takes interns and doesn't pay them because the organization is so prestigious that everybody clamors.
I was about to name drop.
Everybody clamors for an internship there.
Please pay your interns.
Please pay your interns. You're so big. Come on. So everybody is clamoring to get that internship. But what ends up happening is it's kids from privileged communities that can afford to take unpaid internships because they know that they have a safety net. They know that they can fall back on the resources that their family or their background, secured for them. Whereas maybe somebody who has to work to support their family or to support themselves can't afford to take an unpaid internship. And do you know how many doors that unpaid internship might open?
Yeah.
So again, the line of wealth has stagnated. The rich will remain rich, the middle class will remain middle class, and the poor might remain poor because of the systems that are in place.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned like privilege, because I people say millennials are quite like a very privileged generation.
Mm-hmm.
But One thing I don't like about all this millennial, boomer, generation Z talk is most of these studies happen in the West.
Mm-hmm.
And like, if you look at the ranges that people fall into these places, they're dictated by certain events.
Mm-hmm.
And those events didn't really affect us.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, when people talk about like millennials, it's those people who graduated right about the time where I think the US stock exchange crashed, 2008, 2009.
Yeah.
And like a lot of these characteristics that people say are like stereotypically millennial
mm-hmm.
behavior,
mm-hmm.
I just sometimes like it doesn't apply.
It doesn't apply.
Like I saw this tweet, they were like, millennials are the type of generation to, you know, get a job. If they're not treated well, they'll quit. I'm like, yo, millennials where? With this economy.
Well, maybe millennials there. Millennials here will sit and cry in the car park and get in their offices.
And you'll just be like, yo, another day.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing, I really don't understand it. And I really don't want to talk about it. But there's like... there's people who address their place of work mm-hmm. as a certain phrase.
Plantation.
I don't like that.
Yeah. But it's become really cool.
I really don't like that.
To say.
I just look at the... And I'm like, no. But I mean, maybe it comes from like this weird, sick humor place where people...
We're a generation that embraces dark humor.
I mean, I'm all about dark humor, but that...
Mm-hmm.
No, that's just... There's so much into that that
yeah.
I really don't like that. But anyway... Yeah. Like, there's lots of privilege that millennials from other places have that mm-hmm. I think millennials in third world countries just don't have.
Yeah. That is true. And that is why it is dangerous to afford blanket statements across the spectrum. Of course, there are things that we have with the millennial generation of the West, the things in common we have with them.
Yeah.
And this is because we live in a global village.
Mm.
And so we are heavily influenced by art and culture that comes from the West.
Yeah.
So even our humor, our communication, the way we consume information will be informed by what is happening there.
And I hate that.
We sort of like absorb that and we decide to just run with it. But then in terms of privilege, it's true. They probably are more privileged than we are if we're looking at things in general. So we're looking at like access to education, access to work, access to basic resources. There's people who are more privileged than we are. There's people that we are more privileged than. But then if we bring it locally and look at it in terms of like individual communities, that term privilege might also be valid when we compare ourselves to the previous generation when they were our age.
I feel like they had it easy.
Relatively.
Mm.
In terms of like maybe, you know, like physical resources. But
yeah.
we, like, remember when we talked about like expression before? So maybe we are more privileged in that sense of where we can be like, oh, you can't talk to me like this. You can't treat me this way.
Mm.
They probably didn't have that. So it's sort of give and take. I think it's a very nuanced conversation.
I think we need to have a study
that
is very specific to the culture of third world millennials
mm-hmm.
and what goes on in their lives. Because, it's hard out here. And I say that with a lot of emotion because it is, my gosh. But it's so interesting.
But do you think social media also has something to do with why we might think we have it harder than others?
Yes and no.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the no portion, I'll explain that. Yes, because we're connected, we see more than previous generations.
Mm-hmm.
We're exposed to more than previous generations.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. And were very real time, in the moment type of generation where everything matters, but then everything doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
But like, always, or at least I am, mm-hmm. and a few of the people I'm around, always like connected, and it's not the best thing to always be in touch with everything that's going on, because sometimes it's not the best. And mm-hmm. I hear this huge argument about whether the world is really worse than it was 100 or 200 years ago, or mm-hmm. whether we just have access to information faster.
I think it's the second part. It's the second one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because sorry to cut you off
from your
point. Remember like 20 years ago, the television would start at 12 and it would stop at, I think, maybe 22 or something.
Yeah.
So all the information that we consumed was very curated, and somebody somewhere had to make a decision of, oh, okay, they can listen to this, but this is what I'm going to tell them. And it might have been bad because that's censorship in a way.
Yeah.
But it also sort of gave us this semblance of calm. But then right now, if I pulled up my phone and just went to Twitter, I'm like, oh my goodness, okay, so there's a war happening here. Oh, okay, this person has been impeached. No. All right, so I have to care about killings somewhere. No. Pause. Something else has happened. So we're having, we're getting so much news at one go.
Exactly.
And it's all very sensational because we are so angry, so we don't, we skip
everything,
quote unquote, good news, and we always just go, we always so quick to share bad news, and that can be overwhelming to a person, so we end up being very anxious people.
It can. So mid-January, or is it early January, with all the World War III memes, I know everyone was laughing and shit, but
we were sort of what
I was okay. And you stay around, and then you're something actually happened, because I mean, I'm someone who studied history, and wars aren't don't really benefit anyone.
No.
And
arms companies and pharmaceuticals.
Yes, but humanitarian wise, they just don't make sense. And the way everyone seemed to be wanting one, and the way information was spread, and there's this page called the Spectator Index. Was always updating stuff. It's this has happened. This has happened. I'm like, oh shit, it's escalating.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, stuff might go down.
Yeah.
But it's that access to information, and then the access to the negative information that drives I don't know what it is for other people, but I think for most it's anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much to worry about, I guess.
Yeah, and it's also become cool to care, which is good.
Yeah,
but
then what do they call that? Is it performative wokeness?
But
it's a thing.
So you have to care about every single thing, and that can lead to fatigue. You be tired. So okay, I've decided, me as a person, to care only about 4 things.
Okay.
This year, starting this year.
Do you feel sharing?
No.
Okay. 2 maybe.
2.
Okay.
All right. So the 2 that I will care about is period poverty and climate change.
That's a very interesting one.
Yeah.
I don't really think no one should have to pay for something that naturally occurs. You know.
Exactly. So yeah, those are 2 out of 4 things I will care about this year.
Okay.
Everything else, somebody else is going to care about. There is 7.something billion of us on this planet.
Yeah, you can only do so much,
yeah,
really.
Thank yeah.
you.
And I feel you pick the things that you will care about and do something about those things.
Mm-hmm.
Do something in your power about those things, instead of caring about a million causes and not handling it well.
True.
Yeah.
I feel like you see so many people trying to touch every corner and be part of every struggle that's going on in the world, and then you can just tell that I don't want to call it fake, but they're maybe taking more than they can handle.
Yeah.
And if they really just concentrated on one thing, then things might
make a change.
Yeah, there'll be an actual change.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting you say that. I've enjoyed having this conversation, and I want you to leave us with something for that millennial who is struggling or having the hard time. What can you leave with them getting and living in the world that we live in today?
Well, First of all, be kind to Zoomers. You people are so mean to the Zoomers. We haven't even talked about them.
Yeah.
Gen Z. We haven't even spoken about them on this show. But there was so much talk. There was so much to unpack.
True.
Yeah, be kind to Zoomers. I always say, if something is yours, it will... And it's so cliche, but if something is yours, it will get to you. So that's the other thing. Don't put yourself under so much pressure. Have fun. Nothing matters.
I feel like I needed to hear that. I think, what's today? So we're recording in February, and today's like a Thursday.
Yeah.
And this week alone, I've received 2 rejections from places that I'm aspiring to be at. And it's hard, but like you said, if something is yours, then...
If something is yours, it's yours. If it's not... And the thing is, we have to remember that, fine, we are individuals pursuing our individualistic dreams and goals, but then everybody, there is a human being next to you who is also pursuing the same thing. So it didn't go to you, but it went to the other person.
Yeah.
And that's good on them, because they have their own journey. They have their own story.
True.
So maybe it was for them because they needed it a little bit more than you did.
I don't think so, but
and
okay.
And they worked for it. So as a writer, no becomes your middle name.
Yeah.
Because you receive so many rejections and nobody sees that. Like, for every accepted publication that goes out there, there are like 40 "we regret to inform you" emails in your mailbox.
Yeesh, I have received all those "we regret to inform you." But I mean, it's a sign that at least you're trying.
Yeah, you're trying. And there are those people who are kind enough to tell you why they didn't
Yeah, all
you.
Of mine were like that. And I really appreciate that. That's one thing I like about a very specific section of technology that I like to align myself with. They're very empathetic.
Yeah.
And they don't just say, "Hey, yo, we can't have you. Sorry, try again next time." They'll tell you why, and they'll tell you how things can change.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's also another point. Don't be afraid to learn. Our generation is very... we suffer from hubris. So we think we know better. We think we know it all. We think we are the best at whatever it is we're doing. And I guess that's a good thing to have in terms of confidence.
Yeah.
But it's a bad thing when it comes to learning your lesson.
Yes.
So, yeah, be open to learning. Like, be open to criticism. Don't take it personally. Sometimes, like, not everybody's going to like what you are putting out there. But that doesn't mean you should give up. And again, it doesn't mean you should continue doing exactly what you're doing. If 85% of the people out there might not understand what it is you're doing, try and tweak your work to see what speaks to people, if you're creating for people.
Yeah. You know, one thing I've learned is something I'm trying to adopt in my life is not seeing things as good or bad, but seeing them as feedback, really.
Yeah.
And if something doesn't happen or something negative happens, then I would like to perceive that as feedback on something I can do better. Then I adjust and change my strategy.
Yeah.
And then people think it's only on the negative things. Because, you know, when a lot of positive stuff happens, people tend to become very big-headed.
Yes.
And they say, okay, I'm the shit. People still say that. But really, what I'm trying to do with that is, hey, I'm doing something right, and I should continue, but I shouldn't rest.
Yeah.
Because, you know, anything could change.
There's always room to be better.
Exactly. And like in our dopamine-filled society, I think that's important, because people really get like air blown up their behinds with social media points or likes. And... I mean, you get like a bunch, it's good, but like, don't associate that
like
or find
cash.
Exactly. Like, it, yes, likes don't pay the bill, and like, exposure doesn't pay the bills.
Yeah.
And don't identify or build an identity around that, really. I think that's what I would leave with the millennial.
With the millennial. So yeah, be nice to Zoomers. Don't be afraid to learn, and don't be afraid of failure.
Yeah. It's been great, Lydia.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been so much fun.
It has been. I can't wait till this is out. All right.
Yeah.
Till next time. Later.
Alrighty.
Thank you for listening to Rushing Forward. Send us your comments and suggestions at malgamves, malgamves, or codecastzm.